From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The first presidential debate of 2012 is history. What did that 90 minutes mean to voters here in Michigan? Also, it can leave your child in emotional shreds, bullying.
It follows them to their home. It follows them to the core of their being. That's why it is so insidious.
We talk with author Patricia Polacco about her new book, Bully. Plus, Michigan's food entrepreneurs, passionate and oh so creative.
So when Shannon says, I have 21 different varieties, and she said strawberry balsamic and blueberry lavender, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I don't think Smucker's is making those.
And we preview this weekend's Delectricity, shedding light on Detroit's thriving art scene.
So many artists from around the world are coming here either for projects or to live to be part of the rebirth of Detroit.
These stories and more on Stateside, but first, the news. This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Welcome. On the show today, we'll look at the growing opportunities in Michigan for food entrepreneurs. And if you think you're noticing a rise in locally made artisan food, you're correct. And we'll take you to what some believe is just about the best ice cream treat in the entire state, behind the scenes at the MSU Dairy Store. Plus, October is National Bullying Prevention Month. We'll take an in-depth look at bullying and discover how one Macomb County middle school is fighting back against the bullies with kindness. But first, the first presidential debate of 2012 is in the history books. Radio, television, and newspapers are full today with opinions, verdicts, and spin. Who came out on top? Will the undecideds be swayed? Well, who better to give us their thoughts and views than Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry and Daniel Howes, business columnist at the Detroit News. The auto bailout, close to the hearts and pocketbooks of so many in Michigan, is really an issue that President Obama's campaign has focused on this election. We heard Vice President Joe Biden repeating that rallying cry, Osama bin Laden is dead and General Motors is alive. And yet, Jack, the issue of the auto bailout played virtually no role in last night's debate.
That's true. I think we found that kind of curious. There was some mention by the president near the end about auto workers in Detroit and Toledo, but no, the bailout didn't really come up.
Did that surprise you?
I suppose it surprised me a little bit, but I think that President Obama was trying very hard to avoid doing what Al Gore did in his first debate with George W. Bush and look superior and look haughty, and he may have overcompensated for that, but that's, I think, what happened.
Daniel, your thoughts. Was this a presidential misstep?
The true story of the bailout is not as a positive narrative for the Obama campaign as they like people to think, and I think they know that. They're fighting battles on numerous fronts right now that are being ignored by a lot of members of the media, starting with the Delphi salaried retirees. There's clearly the story of what happened to a lot of dealers at the behest of the Automotive Task Force. And, of course, the biggest one is the fact that they put $50 billion into General Motors and the taxpayers are still out about $25 billion. So if you pound that too hard, I think it can redound back to you. And I think the administration knows that. I mean, they can take one-liners like Joe Biden likes to do, but beyond that, I think it's a little bit more problematic.
Jack, do you agree with Daniel that the auto bailout is a less than positive narrative?
No, I don't. I think some of what Daniel's saying is certainly true, but not with voters in general. And we saw Romney sort of do an imitation John Kerry in the primary when he was trying to explain that he was against the bailout before he was against it and tangling himself up. I think for the average voter, certainly in this part of the world, the bailout is pretty much an unmitigated positive. And certainly having been against the bailout wins Romney no points anywhere except maybe at Hillsdale College. So I think the answer is that, you know, to the extent people are aware of it, it's a positive. But what I don't think we know is how voters perceive this. We know how the talking heads on TV perceived this debate. They all thought that Romney got the better of it and were sort of disappointed by Obama. But I don't know what the average man in the street thought, and I think it may be some time before we know.
You know, it's interesting, Jack. I heard earlier a snap poll from CNN that has, going back to 1984, after every presidential debate, has asked a simple question of the people they polled. Who do you think won the debate? And no candidate, Republican or Democrat, has ever broken 60% until last night. Mitt Romney, with 67%, called him the winner, which I was kind of stunned by that number.
I hadn't seen that number, but what I do remember, Dan, is that since I'm old, unfortunately, back in 1984, probably the biggest one-sided debate was Walter Mondale's first mm-hmm. debate against Ronald Reagan. Mm. They had the moderator, they had cut him off at the end, and Reagan clearly looked out of it. But it didn't move the needle at all, and Reagan came back with a one-liner and hit it out of the park about age in the second debate, and everybody forgot about it. I think the thing about this debate that may be the takeaway is that there were no defining one-liners like that. There was no, you're not Jack Kennedy, or I paid for this microphone. And I think that there was one humor writer who said that the main thing was that everybody fell asleep. This was not a dramatic debate at all that people are going to go around quoting from.
You know, it's interesting. Neither candidate has been in Michigan in September, which is a first in years for a presidential campaign. In fact, we haven't seen President Obama in Michigan since April. What does that say to both of you about where Michigan is standing right now in terms of electoral importance?
Well, clearly, Michigan is certainly not as in play as a lot of the Romney people, particularly his Michigan Romney people, hoped it would be. I mean, Jack's probably closer to these polls than I am in terms of in the state, but I think some of them show the president up as much as 10 points or somewhere in that neighborhood. Now, we'll see what happens after this debate and whether there's some tightening and whether Michigan becomes more in play, if it does. And if you start to see Romney in Michigan, I think that's going to be a very bad sign for Obama, because a Democrat needs to carry Michigan, plain, pure, and simple.
That's absolutely right, and I think it's actually a worse sign if you see Obama in Michigan for doing
right.
other than fundraising activities. Now, one or both of them may be here to shake some money out of the trees, but for actual campaigning, Dan's absolutely right.
Yeah.
With just 32 days left until Election Day, although sometimes it seems like it's been a lot, it's been going on forever and ever, what are the issues, do you feel, in this election that truly matter to Michigan voters? Jack, I want to start with you.
Well, I think in the immortal words of the great philosopher James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. It's people are certainly concerned about their economy, and they're also concerned with which of these people they trust more to lead them into the future. I think there's a couple of myths. I think one myth is that I don't think that Mitt Romney is seen as a native son by the vast majority of Michigan voters, hasn't lived here since 1965. You have to be in over 50 like me to remember his father, really. But I think it's all going to be about the economy and security. I'd be interested to know what Dan thinks.
I agree with that 100% on both points, actually. You know, and the whole Mitt Romney thing, I mean, I'm a transplanted Michigander. I came here in 1993, so I have no connection to Romney, and I think a lot of people feel the same way. That said, the economy is critical, and I think last night what I thought of with the president was basically saying, I need more time. In the last 4 years, his economic record is, frankly, very poor. And by saying, I just need, you know, 4 more years of a bad strategy is a bad strategy. And if he really wants to make the case or close the case, he's got to be a lot more prescriptive, I think, than he was. And I think Romney did a much better job of that and projecting that he's going to – projecting movement, if you will. This is the direction we're going. This is why I think this is important, focusing on small business. I mean, he kept pushing and pushing and pushing. He also had a very good command of some detail in terms of things like there was an exchange about oil and gas subsidies versus subsidies for green energy. And the president, and he really pushed that on the president. The president had no response.
It's kind of interesting because some of the fact checkers afterwards, the New York Times, for example, said that some of Romney's facts, especially about oil and public lands, were just not accurate, but the president didn't respond.
Well, and I think a lot of people were very frustrated at that. And I think one of the things that this exposed, this, you know, if you read a lot about the Obama White House, one of the things you read about is he has a very tight inner circle, and the people that are in that inner circle are people that go way back with him. And that you kind of get the impression that he's a little bit insulated from some of these policy issues. The other thing I think that this debate exposed was the behavior of the legacy media that covers him. He has not been subjected to a lot of tough questioning and tough issues. And I think when he gets things thrown back at him like he did last night, he's not quite sure how to take it and is frankly a little put off by the fact that people are talking to him that way. And in a sense, his own people have done him a disservice because he's not doesn't appear to be, at least didn't last night, to be in fighting shape.
Well, there's a silver lining here, though, I think, for Obama. This is what it is. I don't disagree with very much of what Dan said. But Romney had a disastrous September. Everything he did in September was wrong. And people were beginning to say, well, this race is over. Well, now it appears it may be more of a race. And the big fear among Democrats has been complacency, that people wouldn't be energized, they wouldn't come out. And this does two things. It puts a whole lot of attention on the two debates to come. I think if this one had gone otherwise, people might have tuned them out. That happens sometimes. And it also may be a wake-up call to the Obama forces. People have been saying for some time that Romney has actually made a fairly decent case as to why Obama should be fired, but has not made a case to the American people of why they should hire him. So there's going to be more focus, I think, on both things.
In the last minute we have, I'd like to get the thoughts of both of you. What are you as Michiganders going to be looking for in the next debate?
I would say that my criticism of Republicans for a long time, particularly at the national, well, even at the state level, is you can't just criticize. I mean, it's fine to critique the incumbent or to critique the other party's policy, but you need to be positive and you need to be prescriptive and you need to lean forward. When I say lean forward, I don't mean you have to be poking the guy in the chest, your opponent, but you need to be positive and moving in a direction, because I think that's what voters are looking for, potential roadmaps to solutions. So what I think I would be looking for from Romney or from the debate, Ryan's debate with Joe Biden, is, are they moving forward? Is it prescriptive? Is it enough detail to give them separation from the Obama-Biden ticket?
What I'm going to be looking for is to see whether Obama sort of wakes up and sort of takes the fight back to Romney. It was very easy for Obama to criticize the Bush administration policies 4 years ago. It's easy for the challenger. But on some of these numbers, even some Republicans, Peggy Noonan, agree that Romney is practicing what the first George Bush used to call voodoo economics, and whether Obama's going to find an effective way of sort of deflating that, of indicating that what's Romney saying about middle-class tax cuts simply doesn't add up. It'll be interesting to see if in the next couple debates, and I think the next is a town hall debate, the next presidential debate, whether we see a more aggressive Obama.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. We want to thank Daniel Howes, the business columnist at the Detroit News, and Michigan Radio's political analyst, Jack Lessenberry. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. All right. Glad we could do it.